let me just mention what we want to accomplish tonight. You know, what are our goals for tonight? There are a couple of themes that we want to see in Halachic Man that are very interesting. One question that comes up first in our discussion tonight is about speech. We know that speech is a result of thought. You think of an abstract idea and you express it. However, there are two ways of expressing things. One could be verbose, wordy, and the other is where you count every word. Every word has to be precise. You don't use flowery language. You don't pad it up. You give it exactly what's necessary. You don't repeat yourself unless you're clarifying it. But other than that, every word is well measured and well calculated. Where does the Ish Halacha fit into that perspective? And here we're going to see a comparison between Ish Halacha and cognitive man, the man of theoretical science and mathematics. And we'll get to that in a minute. The second issue that we want to discuss tonight is a contrast between the man of religion and Ish Halacha, the man of Halacha, with regard to religious experiences. The homo religioso appreciates a very passionate religious experience. And, for example, if I were to offer you two possibilities. One is to get involved in thought and study. You know, come to a shir, involve yourself in Talmud Torah. And the other option would be to read Tehillim. Now, I don't know if you gentlemen have ever seen people who love reading Tehillim. They're kind of rare today. There used to be a whole breed of them. What is the halachic view about reading Tehillim for someone who's capable of studying Torah on a deeper level? On the one hand, I want to create new ideas in Torah, so I want to give myself over to Torah study. On the other hand, you know, reading Tehillim is a tremendous, inspiring experience for those who understand what they're reading. Again, if you're just reading it like a tukki, it's not what you're doing. And a third issue we want to talk about tonight is, what is Torah Lishma? Does Torah Lishma mean, the highest level of Talmud Torah, that I should study Torah for absolutely no benefit, just for the sake of Almighty God? He commanded me. I want to be Davek B'Shechina and all that. Or is there a more, shall we say, natural kind of feeling that a person should have when he studies Torah? So without further ado, take a look on page 86, in the middle of the page. Okay, we'll read it in the English. Halachic man is not a man of words. That's very interesting. Remember, I asked you just a few minutes ago, does halachic man want to speak a lot? You know, spend time just talking. And according to what we see here, what's the answer? No, halachic man is not interested in that. I'll read it to you in the Hebrew, it's even nicer. He says, halachic man, he compares to ish hadat, the man of cognition, the man of thought. Mevakeret ha-machshava al ha-dibur. He prefers thought over speech. Higayon al-ma'amar. The abstract analysis is more important to him in his scale of preferences than the ma'amar, than speech. Ein hu baal melitza ubaal nivim rabim. You know, he doesn't have all these melitzot. You know, these, how does he translate melitzot? Do you see anything in the translation here? We page 86 in the paragraph that starts halachic man.
I don't know where it went from in the Hebrew, just to compare to the
in the middle of the paragraph, halachic man. Do you see where he says that he doesn't use words needlessly?
It could be he's using the word. He's either a rhetorician or a master of fine phrasing.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent. Read it out loud again.
He is neither a rhetorician nor a master of the fine phrase.
Fine phrase. He says, "Hasafa eina mishameshet lo b'tor matana l'atzma." Language and speech is not an end to itself. Ela kli sharet l'nisuach hamachshava. It's simply a tool to formulate his ideas. So the key of keys is thinking, is thought. I need language to formulate my ideas. And therefore, kishayish hadat, again using the man of cognition as the paradigm, mishtamesh b'lashon, when he uses language, harei midat deik, he's very careful. Shalo lahadif milim, no, he's not verbose, lo larbot bidvarim. Adarabba makshava merubah l'asafa, it's mostly thought with a little speech. The word should be very limited, very disciplined. You're very stingy about using words. And we have to think why this is so. Now, if you take a look at the bottom of page 86 in the Hebrew, he writes, Rashi, going on to the top of page 87, Rashi, HaRambam, HaGrabi Vilna, V'Rav Chaim Ish Brisk, Tzimtzimu b'diburam, v'erchivu et machshavtam. Tilei tilim shal alachot, tluyim b'chol kotzo shal yud b'pirush Rashi. We all know that Rashi is very short. He's very abridged, compact. You could say full shiurim on one word of Rashi. And the Rambam, maybe even more so, I don't know. You know, there's nothing superfluous in the Rambam. Every word is calculated. Or, take the example of just the letters Va'ayin, Vav, Ayin, Yud, Yud, Nun, in the Bir HaGro. The Gro will say, if you want to understand this, Va'ayin, take a look there. He'll reference you a place in Shas. That one word, Va'ayin, the Bir HaGro, Machila, Otzrot, Shomashama. There are treasure houses of thought in that one word, Va'ayin. And then he gives the example of Reb Chaim al Rambam. He says that if you read Reb Chaim, the Chidushei Rebbeinu Chaim Alev al Rambam, kol mishpat u mishpat bekitvei Reb Chaim mehavem ma'ayan hanover. It's a spring well of ideas. Shal chidush vakara. That's why, by the way, it's so difficult to understand Reb Chaim, because there's so much that's condensed into every single word. The words of Reb Chaim are so heavy, and they have to be interpreted. And this is true also for the Briska Rav, for Moshe Soloveitchik. And by the way, the Rav once told us that the edition of Reb Chaim that we have, that's on the shelves, that was published in Brisk, is the sixth version that Reb Chaim had. Five versions, I think he told us, either five or six before this version. And what Reb Chaim did was, every time he went back to his writings, his manuscript, he would cross out words and make it shorter and shorter and shorter. He was very self-critical, wanted to make sure that what he could say in five words, he didn't have to say in 10 words. He would cross out those extra five words. And I would give anything to see one of the earlier versions of Reb Chaim. Because I have no doubt in my mind that I would understand Reb Chaim if I had those early versions. So I don't know if Reb Chaim did such a service for us.
In one way, does this like relate to the inherent essence of the halachic man? Like, why is it that if he speaks in this very, you know, katsar way, that relates to anything we've seen earlier, previous to his being this synthesis of...
Because I think the Rav is trying to project a picture, a vision of what each halacha is all about. What is his personality? Now get a picture of who he is. Now, people who are into emotions that get the best of them, you remember that the Rav, and we discussed this last week, tirades against those who put emotions before actions, emotions before thought. If your passions are in control of you, if they're undisciplined, if that's what your religious life is about, then you'll end up in some sort of amorphous anarchy of religious experience. The beauty of halakha is that the mind, the intellect, the understanding of halakha is what generates the religious experience. And the sequence is absolutely critical. Don't reverse the order. Those who speak a lot, right, they have a certain illness in the mouth. I don't want to mention the name, right? You know the phrase. It's because their emotions take over them. They're not disciplined. Cognitive man is very precise about his speech, because every word that comes out of his mouth has been weighed in his abstract thinking, in his very meticulous analysis, which you can cut the thoughts and the distinctions and definitions with a very sharp knife. So Rashi, when he wrote his Pirush, he's not going to, you know, does anybody know which relative of Rashi was almost the opposite? The Rashbam. So you learn most of Basra, we don't have Rashi. You know, you've got to reorient yourself, and you've got to have patience. And sometimes, you know, you read it once, and now he hits it to you with a chazorashir, and you think, and then the Rashbam will say the third time, and then you try to rack your brains and see if there was some difference between the first time he said it and the second time and the third time. Rashi spares you of all that. On the other hand, Rashi twists your arm. You know, there's no easy way out. The amelus in Rashi is to figure out the meaning of every single word. You can't skip even a single word. And if you think Rashi's repeating himself, rack your brains, because you don't understand Rashi. In the Rambam, it's absolutely, you know, like one of the 13 tenets of the faith, that every word of the Rambam has to be understood. There's no repetition, there's no superfluous, there's no flowery language. Sometimes we think we're reading the Rambam, it's flowery language, and then we look a second time, and a third time, we realize, wow, he's saying something different here. This is a chiddush. The Rav said that when he learned by his father of Moshe, everything was total. You know, everything was words that were weighed. It wasn't like we sit down there and we shoot the breeze. You know, anything that comes even half through your brain. It's not even half through your brain, and yet it comes out of your mouth. It's totally undisciplined. So if we want to get a vision of Ish Halakha, who in many ways, as we've seen over and over again, you gentlemen are just jumping in, but you have to trust me that we've seen this over and over. The Rav has knocked it into our brains that the Ish Halakha is so similar in so many ways to the man of Da'at, you know, the cognitive man of abstract thinking. You know, the Halakha is an ideal world that's created a priori, and the Halakha man is totally dedicated to analyze and come to a truthful understanding. Oh, let's go on. I want to get to the second question that we asked. And here you'll see on page 87, the Rav is addressing the issue of emotion. And I think this fits in with the discussion that we've had. And here he compares Ish Halakha to Ish Hadat, to man of religion. And he speaks about ecstasy, a very passionate, intense religious experience. He says, when ecstasy seizes hold of homo religiosus, he bursts forth in song and song. So which book of Tanakh do you want to give the homo religioso? Give him a book of Tehillim. That's going to be his favorite book, because it's full of song and poetry. Halachic man, on the contrary, again, not that halachic man doesn't study Tehillim, but he's not constantly gravitationally pulled to Tehillim. He's very sparing in his recitation of Piyutim. Again, not because he thinks philosophically we shouldn't be reciting Piyutim, but he believes that serving one's maker, as the Ratzon Hashem is, with pure halakhic thought, precise cognition, clear logic. To some extent then, reading Tehillim for the Ish Halakha is really a waste of time. And here, the Rav tells a story that I thought was very, very interesting. Ma'aseh v'nichnas ava mori, this is on page 136 in the Hebrew version. My father came in, b'leil Rosh Hashanah, lebeit ha-kneset, umatzani, he finds me, omer tehillim v'matzivur. Apparently, there was a minhag back in Litta, in the old days, that after the davening of Rosh Hashanah, people would linger on in the shul, and they would recite tehillim. So the Rav was a young man, that's what he did. So what did his father say to him? Im ritzon chala vodet habore achshav, you want to serve Almighty God on this holy day of Rosh Hashanah? Klach lecha etzel hilchot kedushat hayom. take out a halachic work and study the nature of the sanctity of the day. Get involved in halacha. Drop the tilim. He tells another story about Reb Chaim. He says, Reb Chaim Ishbris, Kayao Seik B'Torah, B'Sha'at Amirat Piyut B'Yimei Adin. He says, when the Tzibur was reading long piyutim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Reb Chaim was learning. B'Rosh Hashanah Tipel B'Lchot Shofar, B'Yom HaKippur B'Lchot Avodat Hayom. This is a whole other approach. And I wonder if this is for everybody. Is this esoteric or it's exoteric? The Rav is creating a vision of what we call the paradigm man of halacha. And I know many people who spend an awful lot of time reading Tehillim and Piyutim, and the Rav is not advocating that favor. Take out a sefer and learn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Osek BaTorah V'Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu El Dalet Amot Shel Halacha. Chazal say that what God wants from us is to study halacha.
Did? I don't think I understand the distinction he's making with Tehillim, because like, isn't Tehillim a form of Torah and therefore learning itself?
Excellent question, David. Excellent question. Let me quote to you Gemara Megillah, very famous Gemara. The Gemara says, "Mevatlin Talmud Torah leMikra Megillah." Yo, it's time for Megillah reading. You're sitting and learning. Is Bittul Torah is the way to go? Anybody have a question here? The same question you asked about Tehillim.
Say, well, now you have to listen to the Megillah.
Megillah is part of Kisei Kodesh, one of the 24 holy books. So what are you telling me? I'm being Mavatal Torah. So I once heard from the Rav that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah exists on two levels. One level is Kriya B'Ksuvim, Kriya B'Tanakh, just simply reading, even without understanding. That too is a key of Talmud Torah. But there's another dimension to Talmud Torah. His Amkus B'Torah. Understand Torah on the deepest level. And the Rav said that if you have a capacity, a capability of fulfilling not just reading the Torah, but understanding the Torah, if you forfeit the opportunity to understand the Torah for the sake of reading the Torah, that's called Bittul Torah. Because as far as the second dimension of Talmud Torah is concerned, that's Bittul Torah. I would take this and combine it with what the Rav is saying here in Inshallah. Rav Moshe was upset with the Rav for using precious moments, which he could have dedicated, as his grandfather had done at that same time, to the study of the shofar. Instead, you're reading Tehillim. You are forfeiting the deepest level of the study of halacha, the study of Torah. By the way, you should know that the Rav has chidushim on shofar. Tili tilim shel chidushim. I myself heard many of the shirim on shofar, but there's so much. And maybe it was because of this story. Because when the Rav got to Rosh Hashanah, he was well versed in Hilchos Shofar. He plunged into the laws of Shofar on a deeper level. And what was Reb Chaim doing while the Tzibur was reading Piyutim on Yom Kippur? What was he studying? Avodas Yom HaKippur. Again, an area which the Rav, our Rebbe, was so... He's such a master of Avodas Yom HaKippur. The Rosh Yeshiva from Tells Cleveland, Rav Motel Gifter, if you ever heard of him, Zechon Levracha, he said he once heard a shiur from the Rav on Avodas Yom HaKippur. You know, he still remembers it to this day. That's what he wrote many years later. And the last sentence in this paragraph, the Rav sort of sums it up. He says, "Ein limud haTorah emtza'i lematara acheret." We don't use the Torah as a means to a goal. You know, you want to study Tehillim to have this religious ecstasy. That's not the way we see it. We are involved in halacha. Tachlit, the Torah and its study, is an end unto itself. It's not a means to it. V'yisoda yisodot. And now here, the Rav does us a very good favor, and he's done this before. He integrates two great Sfarim, two masterpieces of Rav Chaim Volozhin. One is the Ruach Chaim on Avos, and the second is the Nefesh HaChaim. Reb Chaim's great contribution to the world of Jewish thought. And in one long paragraph, he integrates both and tells us what it means to study Torah Lishma. You remember my question from before, what constitutes Torah Lishma? Says Reb Chaim, this is Reb Chaim Balazs, you're going back to the Talmud of the Gaon, of the Vilna Gaon. He says, Inyan al-Lishma, and please follow me in the English, which is now, we're turning on to page 88. Inyan ha-Lishma, ikra l'shem avat ha-Torah. Wow. What's Lishma? L'shem avas ha-Torah, out of the love of the Torah. Forget about, you know, Dveikus, and forget about L'shem this, and L'shem that, all the Hilgi Kavanas, the holy intention. No! You learn the Torah out of love for Torah. Liga v'lamod al-Sharesh. I want to sweat and toil until I understand the roots of the Torah, meaning the underlying deep principles under the Torah. Aval im yachshov adam ki lishma kavana l'dveikus. The person thinks that all his kavana has to be for the sake of clinging to Almighty God. How does it translate dveikus?
Cleaving.
What?
Cleaving.
Cleaving, okay. I call it the clinging, whatever it is. He says, v'im kein l'dato l'dinyono yachshov she'asok b'shirot u'v'tishpachot. Well, look, if I want to cling to Almighty God, I might as well dedicate myself to reading the Shiros and the Tishbachos, Bifat B'Sefer Tilim, Mina Im Zmirot Yisrael from David HaMelech. I'll dedicate myself to the study of Psalms, or reading Psalms. Hama'orim Avas Hashem V'Kirvaso. Yeah, this is a great way of getting myself all passionate about Almighty God. V'Zeh Dailo, and that's all he wants out of life. U'Bazeh Yichyeh Chayim Arevim. He thinks that's the pleasant way of going. Avalokenu, he says, Reb Chaim, that's not the way to go. That's not the Derech HaTorah. Ki alomatzinu b'medrash David bikei she'osek b'shirov b'zimrov yachshav lo ka'osek b'negoyim uva'olos. David prayed to Hashem that let those who study my Tehillim be considered meritorious as if they had dedicated themselves to the study of the most difficult, complex halachas that we have, negoyim and olos, and tuv v'tara. You see from David HaMelech that he wanted to upgrade our schar, that we should really be considered as if we were doing the right thing, the paradigm, the perfect thing, which would be to study Negoim and Olos. So you see, number one, from this Bakosh of David, that Olos is more important than what? Than Tehillim. What else do you see? He says, V'lo matzinu shehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo bazeh. God didn't grant David HaMelech's wish. At the end of the day, when you study Tehillim or read Tehillim, again, you can study Tehillim in depth too, but I'm saying if you read Tehillim superficially, you won't get the schar of an osik b'negoyim v'olos. And you know, a lot of people take on themselves to learn Mishnayos Olos for a yahrzeit of someone, or for a shloshim. And it's all fine and dandy, but most people, when they take upon themselves, they sign up, because no one else signs up for Negoim and Olos, that they read it like speed reading. You know, they just superficially turn pages. That's not Negoim and Olos. That's converting Torah Sheval Pen to Torah Sheval Tzav, and it just won't go. Lefisha ikara limud lo lasok rak bidvekus. The purpose of Limud primarily is not to be dovek in Shechina. Ki im lahasig al yidei Torah v'amitzos v'adinim v'leida kol dovu d'aral burio. Throw yourself into a serious investigation and analysis of Torah concepts. Klolav u'pratav.
Isn't that in itself a dveikus?
Oh, great. Hold on for a second, David. You're always hitting it on the mark. I'm going to sign you up for this class, whether you like it or not. Achadimu b'hem yiyah l'shem ha'dvarim ha'atzman k'dei l'hovin u'lahosif lekach u'pilpul. The lorak b'dveikus, don't think that your responsibility exhausts itself in dveikus. That's all you're interested in from A to Z, from soup to nuts. K'moshin ishtabshu b'zeharbe. And many people fell into this trap, and they were tempted to think that, oh, all we need and all we want is dveikus. And that's our responsibility, nothing beyond. He says, "Kigom b'dini nizikim." Thrust yourself into the laws of nizikim. Learn Baba Basra, Hachokas nizikim, Odo Hamazik, Isho Shem Mishum Chitzav, V'chein Tzarch Lefamim Lisa V'Liten B'Migu. Get yourself involved in a migu. Yeah, if I was lying, I would have said that. Shol Ramon, you're mamish throwing yourself into the mentality, the psychology of a Ramai, of some sort of cheat. Masha Ramai Yochel Litom V'Chadomeh. The Avshalom Yechaveh Be'ez HaLimud, this is David, he's now addressing your question. Even though his intention at the time that he's learning, you know, at that moment that he's thinking about the psychology of a rabbi in Migu, he's not thinking about Inyani Yiras Hashem. He's not involved in fear of God, the awesome God. Mikol Makom, Kol Shahalimud Hu L'Shem Yichud Kuchabrichu, if he loves God and he loves God's wisdom. Ukshu Miyagea Es Atzmo, he's sweating it out, he's toiling. B'dvar Halacha, B'pashtus, to understand in it, Pshat means the deepest level. B'vadai Shashchina Shor Olov, B'shas Limud Omash. The very moment that he throws himself in to the depths and plummets the depths of study, of analysis, of Halacha, then the Shechina is right there with him. K'maymar Chazal, Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Bolomo, Eladalad Amos Shalva. Why is Reb Chaim Volozhin so eager to tell us that at that very moment the Shechina is with you? I don't understand why he quotes this statement of Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Bolomo Eladalad Amos Shalva. I mean, obviously that means that God contracts his Shechina Kaviyochol into that Dalad Amos of Halacha. I would have quoted the Mishnah in Avos that says called Lomi Torah is Shechina Shruyel Etzlo. But okay, it doesn't matter, it's the same idea. Why is Reb Chaim so interested in that?
That is the greatest way to have this relationship.
That's the greatest tefillah you can have. And you should know that there are two svarim written by two different Jews on different polar extremes, and they both almost say the same exact thing. One is the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, in Perikei Mitanya. And the other is Shar Dalid of the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin, the Talmud of the Gaon. So you go on from one extreme, and they both say almost the same thing. If I had it in front of me, I would read it to you. It's almost word for word. You think they plagiarized, but they didn't plagiarize. But what they both say is that when we think in our minds, thoughts of Torah, when we think even these abstract ideas about what would happen if a guy comes along with a shtar and with this contract who claims that you owe him $50, and the other guy, the loafer, claims, well, I paid you back, and you know, the Pareto's mano, or the Edom are lying, and the shtar is invalid, and it's a forgery, and you think of the most abstract possibilities, at that moment, your mind is one with the wisdom, with the mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your nefesh, through the seichel, becomes unified with the seichel, with the chachma of Hashem. And the Baal HaTanya says, "Be yichud she'ein kamoso, yichud nifla she'ein kamoso." He says, "There's no other, how should I say, yichud, or no other unification that's greater than that one." So imagine when I study Torah, if we'd only have this in mind, when I study Torah, I have the divine wisdom, and God and His wisdom are one. Otherwise, you would be making a plurality out of God. So I am taking kaviyachol, the wisdom of God, into my brain. And at that moment when I'm thinking these thoughts, as abstract as they may be, I am one with thee, with the wisdom of God, with the machshav of Hashem. V'hu v'machshavosa echad. And the Baal HaTanya says it, and Rav Chaim Volozhin says it in almost in the same language. And that's what I think we're seeing here. He finishes up this paragraph by saying, Ela hadvarim diber Rav Chaim talmidu shal agro b'yasei yeshivas Volozhin b'sifro. And he says that ish halacha einenu nofel beruchom mishum shum ish. Here he projects the vision of the man of halacha as total dedication to truth. He fears no one. Lo saguru mipnei ish. David,
well,
I thought maybe you were going to say something. He says einu shol eflin mechmaot. Mechma is a modern Hebrew word for a pat on the back. He's not looking for any approval for anyone. Einu zakuk las kamat amon. He doesn't wait for the applause of the people. And here, Reb Chaim, he tells a story about Reb Chaim that could make your hair stand on end. And Reb Chaim fought the battle for the sake of truth. And he won the battle, but lost the war. And this you'll see on page 90. We'll read it in the English. We'll try to finish up before Myra. Once Reb Chaim of Brisk was attending a conference of outstanding Torah scholars in St. Petersburg, a city in Russia. And what was the item on the agenda? There were uncircumcised infants, because the Jews were assimilated, so they didn't want to give their children milah. And the issue was, should they be registered in the official registry of the Jewish community? And the Rabbanim got up and they said, certainly forbidden to register them, they're not circumcised. Ki'ilu like they're goyim, they're not part of the Jewish people, we can't register them amongst the Jews. Rav Chaim rose up and he said, my masters, please show me in the halacha that it states that someone who's not circumcised is not a member of the Jewish people. As far as I'm aware of, someone who's an Orel, he's not circumcised, he's not to partake of karbonos, he can't eat the karbon Pesach, but I never heard, he said, that he's devoid of holiness, he's not part of Kedushas Yisrael, he doesn't have a status of a Jew. To be sure, when he comes of age, if he doesn't circumcise himself, he's chayv karet, but he's still part of a Jew. Even a Jew who eats blood, who violates the Shabbos, he's chayv karets. But so what? Is he excluded from the Jewish people? Why then do you treat the uncircumcised infant so stringently, but a Sabbath violator so leniently, him you're willing to register amongst the Jewish people? On the contrary, this infant has not yet sinned at all. His father has sinned in not fulfilling his obligation. And politically, this was not the right thing to do. But Reb Chaim was totally dedicated to truth. He projected the truth and nothing but the truth. And the truth wins all. Forget about politics. Forget about diplomacy. The Ish Halakha is totally, totally focused and dedicated on truth. I want to see if we have a few more minutes to continue. There's another story that I wanted to show you here. And this is on page 91 in the English, and it's a fascinating story because I never would have anticipated that the Rav would ask the following question. And the question is, it was asked actually by his uncle Rav Meir Berlin, who's known today as Rav Meir Bar Ilan, the university is named after him. He once asked Rav Chaim, what is the function of a rabbi? Let me try to explain, Lefiani's Daiti, what his question was. You know, you have a community that hires a Rav, he's the Mordi Asra, and he has a number of responsibilities and functions. What's his primary function? What should be uppermost and primary on his list? What's the most important value and goal and responsibility on the shoulders of the Rav? And Rav Chaim replied, to regress the grievances of those who are abandoned. Litvoa el bonam shel galmudim va'azuvim lahagen al kvod ha'aniyim ulahatzil ashuk miyad oksho. He mentions three things. They're all very, very similar. To redress the grievances of those who are abandoned, to protect the dignity of the poor, to save the oppressed from the hands of the oppressor. Wow. There's nothing mentioning here about politics. You know, every Rav gets involved in politics, institutions. Nothing about ritual decisions, you know, for issuing piskei dinim. That's not what it's all about. The function of a Rav is to the actualization of the ideals of justice and righteousness. This is the pillar of pillars. He says in the Hebrew, Hitgashmut ideali hatzedek he milui tudat yitzira shutla al adam. This is not just the responsibility of the Rav, but this is man's task as a created being, the perfection of the world, letaken olam, to bring the world under the control, under the sovereign rule of Ratzon Hashem zui alocha, Torah zui alocha. So it's not just the rabbi who's the teacher and serves his community as its leader, but it's each and every one of us. We have to be dedicated to the principles of righteousness. So let's take a step back and review what we've seen. We've seen that halachic man is not a man of words. You know, he doesn't. He's not verbose. He's very particular about what he says. He's not a man of tehillim. His religious experience is a result of halacha. And his greatest mitzvah is to be creative at halacha and analyzing the halacha. We've seen that the concept of lishma, as Reb Chaim Volozhin formulated, is the ava, the love of Torah. And now we see that halachic man is not afraid of anyone. He's not looking for that which is politically correct. He doesn't try to get the approval of people around him. And unfortunately, we live in a generation where there's so much politics going on. You, your community hires a Rav, And if the Rav doesn't toe the mark and do what they want him to do, then he gets the boot. And this is a tragedy in our times. It's the people in the community who should kowtow and accept the rulership and the verdicts of the Rav, not the other way around. And the Rav here in the Ish Halacha says something that I found very touching. He says that Ish Halacha yodea ki ha'emet, the truth is ner l'raglo, v'halacha or l'netivato, nafsho go'elet. He's totally repulsed and disgusted by Yoshvei Kronos, by these lower echelon riffraff of people, Holchei Batel Umavali Olam, that try to control the world. And he says that Yirat Shamayim She'inam Mevusest Al Yediyat HaTorah Inah Chashuva Be'inav. He doesn't have any respect for any sort of piety that's not based on knowledge. And he says the following: if he doesn't find people of stature, of spiritual rank, so he's not surrounded by people that he can associate with, let him wrap himself around in his mantle. In other words, he should be poresh from society. And this is the lonely man of halacha. Again, there's a lonely man of faith, but here what we're looking at is the lonely man of halacha. He's alienated from the society around him. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos speaks about the fact that sometimes a person, if there's no other choice, he can't live with society amongst the people. He's got to be a hermit. And that's what the Rav is touching on over here. He says, Lo ama aretz chasid v'lo bur yirei chet. You know, to be thrust in a society and surrounded by people who are totally ignorant, who have no sense of the knowledge of the Torah, then these are people who cannot serve Hashem. He cannot be considered Yirei Chet. And therefore, man, halachic man, might find himself in a situation where he has to recoil and withdraw from that society. And the Rav says, Vaymet, what we say in halacha that's true, harehi amet achat gmura umuchletet. Truth is absolute. She'enu nachon lakriva, he's not willing to sacrifice the truth. Afilu l'shem matara niskiva, even for some exalted goal. Enu mevin et shvilea politika, he's very, in a sense, naive when it comes to politics. Enu pikeach, what he means is some sort of a negative kind of pikkus. He's not talking about wisdom. He's totally dedicated to the honesty of the truth of halacha. And even if one were to contemplate twisting around the Torah and violating the sense of truth for some lofty desire, for some goal, that's not acceptable. That's what you would call a mitzvah habo b'avera. And it's not to be tolerated. It's not within the purview. It's not on the page of the Ish Halacha. So we're not talking, says the Rav, about the religious zeal of homo religiosos, but a type of zeal that's unique to the Ish Halacha. A tshuka, a kana'ut, not towards, you know, running away from this world into some spiritual other world, but kana'ut shel ba'al halacha l'shem ha'emet. Wow, this is like very extreme. And the Rav says that halachic man doesn't have to go to one extreme or the other to be lenient or to be more strict. None of that is on his radar screen. That's not what motivates him. He wants the truth. And he respects those who honor the truth. He's not extreme in this way or in that way. And this story about Reb Chaim in St. Petersburg, with apparently the Gedolei Torah of the time, where they were thinking in politics. You know, they had a tactical calculation. They wanted to force the hands of those assimilationists to circumcise their sons, and therefore they wanted a program which would exclude these uncircumcised children from the official register of the Jewish community, therefore they wouldn't have any rights as Jews. And that, they believed, would help them achieve their goal of getting these children into Mila. But from Reb Chaim's perspective, halacha is halacha. He's not thinking in terms of politics and practical programs. That's not what's on his mind. From the perspective of emergency measures, then the majority was correct. But Reb Chaim was correct from a halachic sense. There is no halacha that excludes an Orel from the status of Kedushas Yisrael of being a Jew. And no halachic truth can be sacrificed, Reb Chaim held, even for the noblest of ideals. And again, this could be very controversial, because perhaps the halacha itself has to consider the ideal here. In other words, the concept of registering an infant, an uncircumcised infant, in a Jewish official registry is really, in a sense, secular. You know, it's more of a municipal decision. Maybe the halacha has to bend over here for the sake of getting these children gemalt. You know, they have Ribono Shel Olam. This is terrible. They're not circumcised. So maybe the halacha itself would bend. Perhaps Reb Chaim's perspective was that why not pressure the Shabbos, the Mechalei Shabbos, you know, to be Shomer Shabbos? That you're not willing to do. Now I want you to take a look on the bottom of page 90, where the Rav explains why the halachic man doesn't fear anyone, why his dedication to truth is so absolute. He says, halachic man implements the Torah without any compromises or concessions. Because again, once you implement concessions, then you have completely violated the ultimate dream of the Torah, the ultimate desire of the Torah for truth. When a person actualizes the ideal halach in the very midst of the real world, he approaches the level of that godly man, the prophet, the creator of worlds. Okay, here the Rav is projecting the image of the Ish Halacha in terms of his desire to create this ideal world. Once the Ish Halacha has created this ideal world, then the next level, the perfect implementation of the Torah, is when the Torah is fulfilled in this real world. Because again, there's no bricha, there's no fleeing from this world, but to actualize the halacha in the concrete world, in all its brilliance. And then getting back to the idea that we spoke about before, this on the top page 91, halachic man cannot be cowed by anyone. He has no fear of flesh and blood. After all, is he not a creator of worlds, a partner with the Almighty in the act of creation? You remember last week we discussed this at great length, that man, through halacha and his creativity in halacha, becomes a shuta of Maisa Bracious. He's creating worlds. And Reb Chaim Volozhin was quoted last week as saying that the upper worlds and the cosmological worlds are impacted and generated by what we do in this world. Precisely because he is free from the fear of flesh and blood, he neither betrays his own mission nor profanes his holy task. He takes up his stand in the midst of the concrete world, his feet planted firmly on the ground of reality. He looks about, sees, listens, and hears, and publicly protests against the oppression of the helpless. This is where we said that the primary function of a Rav, says Reb Chaim, is to defend the dignity of the poor and save the oppressed from the hands of the oppressors. And here I'd like to compare what the Rav is saying about the function of a Rav to what the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim at the end of Perek Dalet about the function of a Melech. I don't know why the Rav didn't quote this. I'm sure he had it in his subconscious mind when he penned this essay. The Rambam writes, what is the function of a melech, of a king in Israel? He says, "B'chol Bakol yu maisav l'shem shamayim v'tiyah magamosov machshavto laharim das ha'emes. He's totally dedicated to truth. Ulamalos ha'olam tzedek. And to fill the entire universe with justice and righteousness. L'shbar zroa harashayim. To break the arm of the evildoers. And I think that that phrase, l'shbar zroa shel harashayim, is exactly what the Rav is describing here when he talks about the rabbis being dedicated to the ideals of justice and righteousness and without any room for compromise. And the Rav demonstrates this total dedication even against all opposition by telling a fantastic story about Rav Chaim and the burial case. That story about Reb Chaim and the burial has a shtickel of blondes in it, and it really indicates the Rav's unique approach based on Reb Chaim. Obviously, Reb Chaim's unique methodology of learning. And I'd like to study this story with you next time we get together in Mirtz Hashem, and we'll see how that story illustrates the function of a Rav, the dedication to justice, even when it incurs the wrath of those members of the community who would like to defend the wealthy at the expense of the poor. So we'll pick that up, Mirtz Hashem, next time. All right, have a great night.